Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, new beginnings are not just for the young. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Dr. Suzanne Clay, and I'm coming to you from the Akron, Cleveland area of Ohio. This is New Beginnings Ministries, and the title of our talk show is Begin Again. It's Wednesday, March 20th, the first day of spring, and I don't know how it is where you are, but we have a little snow here. So it's in the 30s, and but they tell us that the calendar says it's the first day of spring. I welcome you to our talk show this evening. We are a Bible study, a virtual Bible study where everyone can come, call in, join in on the fun and the conversation. You can also talk with us through our chat line. If you want to chat with us, go to blogtalkradio.com. Again, our ministry is New Beginnings Ministry, and go to Begin Again, and you can chat with us or send a chat message, which I will relay to our speaker for the evening. You can also contact us through Twitter or Facebook. So please visit our Facebook page or our website, which is, again, is New Beginnings Ministries. This evening, we have a guest speaker. Our guest speaker is Apostle Derek Scott, and he comes to us from Warren, Ohio. He is with Alpha and Omega Ministries, a gifted teacher, a gifted preacher, a gifted evangelist and apostle. He is a gifted author of two books, which I'm sure that he will share with us. Apostle Scott, are you on the line?
Well, God bless you, Dr. Clay, and to all those who are listening on this great, great program, Blog Talk Radio. Glad to be back on the air with you again.
Good. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And to our listeners, if you, as you know, all of our programs are taped and archived. And if you go to our site on Blog Talk Radio, you can access any of the previous programs that have been on the radio over the past year. And Apostle Scott is one of our favorites, so you would see him there. Before we pray, I want to just remind you that our mission is to grow, to spiritually grow, to become closer to God, to unveil the mysteries and the secrets that are in the Bible by our through study. We want to be a ministry of discipleship. We want you to know that we are a Holy Spirit-filled ministry with the aim to disciple and to evangelize. So we want to define a few of the things before I give the mic over to Apostle Scott. So what is a Holy Spirit-filled and empowered? What is Holy Spirit-filled and empowered discipleship? Well, it's the process of living as a disciple as we choose to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit moment by moment. And then what is discipling? Well, that's the Holy Spirit-empowered process of helping another believer become a worker in the harvest fields of the world, then continuing in that commitment and reproducing it in the life of another until Christ is truly formed in them. And what is a disciple? It's a committed follower of Jesus Christ who possessed by the Holy Spirit and who is willing to be a lifelong learner of the Lord. So praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you this evening for bringing us together, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the word that's going to go forth, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, to prepare our hearts and minds, Father, to receive you through your word, Father God, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you would use Brother Scott, Father God, as he begins to minister, Father God, that you would use him, Father God, to reach the listeners, those that are listening at this very moment, Father God, and those that will listen in the future. We praise you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for the place that you've placed us in Jesus' sweet, sweet holy name. Amen. Apostle Scott, I turn the mic over to you.
Well, we just want to again say we are so glad to have this opportunity to come before the people of God today. And I'm excited because I'm in the process of writing a new book that will be released prayerfully by September, which will be my third book. And as you said earlier, I am the author of Anointed to Say No, which is my first book, which is about 8 years old, and the second book is about 2 years old, and that is Time to Change Your Oil. And so I'm excited about what God is doing in the area of life support and what he is doing to the body, because in the midst of adversity, we know that still Jesus is Lord. Tonight I want to just go into a deeper revelation of what is really on my heart tonight, that I feel that really this word is really a rhema word for not only those who are going to listen, but those who will listen in the days ahead, because God is concerned about knowledge. God is the all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-seeing God. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipresent. And so I'm going to look at the book of Daniel tonight as an opening scripture that we're going to dissect, and we're going to look at Daniel chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 3, and we're going to look at verse 3, and we're going to look at verse 4. And let me just pray once again. Father, in Jesus' name, I take the keys of health and wealth, and I bind sickness and poverty. I loose wellness and wealth of wisdom and knowledge, and even American money being loose tonight. Your people in America, Father, needs knowledge. They need wisdom. And I loose a new beginning to those who are going to listen in tonight and those who are going to listen in the future. I loose a new beginning to you, a new beginning of wisdom and a new beginning of knowledge, that your knowledge will increase of the glory of God. For God's glory is being revealed even in this day and time, God's glory. Even as we enter into a new season, moving from winter to spring, God's glory is being revealed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, let's look at the scripture. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I was just looking at this in a kingdom study on this week, and one of the things that we have to revelate to the people of God that are listening is that the book of Daniel is tied directly or parallel to the book of Revelation. There's a time of captivity where the children of Israel have come into Babylon. They have had the temple of Solomon built. They had the glory of God to be revealed in the temple where the priest could not even enter into the house of worship because of the glory. And we know that Daniel, 2 Chronicles 7:14, talks about, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And all those things that we do know about that particular text in the passage of Scripture, we realize that even Solomon, the one that built the temple, removed himself from the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we can allow ourselves to get ahead of God, not remaining with God, because the race is not given to the swift. The battle is not given to the strong, but it's only given to those who endure to the end. And that's why it's so important as people of God that we retain the knowledge of God, and that we don't get ahead of God. We don't look at what's to the left or what's to the right, and we don't try to see ourselves as all that and everybody else being nothing, but remaining humble before the Lord. And that's where knowledge is so important in this hour, because humility is a part of knowing God. God himself humbled himself, his son Jesus, humbled himself even to the death of the cross. And so that's why it's important, so that when we see the scripture on how God told Daniel to shut up the book for the time of the end. And so we realize that from the time that they came from Solomon's temple, and how Solomon had a son by the name of Rehoboam and Jeroboam, one being a servant and one being a king, was given. The northern kingdom went to, again, Jeroboam, and the southern kingdom went, amen, to, again, Rehoboam, which was Judah and Benjamin. And so for a long period of time, Jeroboam and Rehoboam were fighting. There is a ceasing of knowledge of who God is, because anytime you are remaining in warfare, anytime you are fighting everyday warfare for a battle that has already been won, something is dealing with the pattern of living, that something is dealing with the pattern of thinking. And that's why it's important for us to have, even as Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and accepted to God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we might prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. Amen. And so, therefore, when we look at the scripture, we look at the text, we see where, again, God tells Daniel to shut the book up. We realize that there is an increasing. The Bible says that they would run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And so what I'm trying to share with you in this particular passage of scripture is that we must not only remain in God, because there's a lot of people that have kept the book shut. Even though we're living in a time where God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, and nations like China and Korea and other nations above the earth are still ignorant to what God's word says. People do not have a unction. They do not have a zeal to go and open the book of God. And this is something that was spoken way back in Daniel's day. Daniel, again, was in Babylon. The children of Israel leaves the place where God had given them, again, Solomon's temple, and they go down to a place called Babylon. And we know that we this week have just come out of Babylon. The war has ended after 10 years. Our American troops have now come back out of Babylon, out of Iraq. And so there is still an ongoing or a progression of warfare that is still in the earth today that most people do not talk about. God is still progressing his people, but yet we still have an enemy that wants to keep the people bound, in bondage, in captivity. And the reason why this is because, as it was prophesied by Daniel, that the book would be shut and that knowledge would be increased, but not the knowledge of God. I mean, we have a lot of people that take a lot of time out on Sundays to enjoy their sports, and I'm not, you know, trying to condemn anybody because they watch football, basketball, baseball. But any time where your mind is directed more on the things of the world than the things that are in the Holy Bible, there is going to be some ignorance, or there's going to be some lack of knowledge that is going to take place in the believer's life. And I say believer's life because God wants us all to be believers. He wished none to perish. And so because the book of Daniel talks about this, that they would run to and fro and knowledge would be increased, we're not dealing with the knowledge of God. We're dealing with a lot of people have the knowledge of the world. They have the knowledge of this or that. And the reason why we are having and experiencing such a devastation in humanity today is because, again, the people do not realize that as long as the book is closed, there is not a knowledge of God in the earth. And so I often tell people that there is a pattern of living that God has placed within the earth, and that's the Holy Bible. This is the Bible that God left for every man to read. And I understand the Torah is the first five books of again, the Jews, but there is an extended version. There is something that God put in the earth for all humanity, whether it be Jew, Gentile, bond or free, male or female, all humanity. In fact, he talks about let everything have breath, praise the Lord. And that's why it's important for us not to look at the Bible as just some kind of novel or some kind of book that has no significant importance. The Bible is the most important thing that anyone who is living with breath in them should pick up, whether you have a translation of China or Asia descent, or whether you have a European descent of the continent of Europe, or whether you have a descent of Africa. All three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, everything that has breath should have a relationship in its own translation with the Holy Bible. And so that's why we look at the devastation, because when we look at, again, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 and 4, we see about wisdom. We see about those who, again, are going to be wise will come forth and shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. In other words, it is the wise, it is those who are walking in the wisdom of God in this hour that are going to not only demonstrate God in the earth, but are going to reveal God by what he is saying to those who are in life today. Now, if you're in death, you can't understand this because the book is closed. But as long as we are living and we have the book open, this is the knowledge that is supposed to increase, the wisdom that is supposed to increase, the righteousness that is supposed to increase in the earth realm, so that humanity will know the God that created the heavens and the earth is still God. And so we look in this particular passage of scripture, but then we go into Hosea chapter 4. And this is where we want to go, to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Again, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And we see the prophet, the minor prophet, Hosea.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a word also. And in his word, he's telling us that the people are destroyed because a lack of knowledge. And one of the things that we got to see, that's why it's so important for us to gain knowledge. It's very important for us to be in the Word of God. It's important for us to have what we're doing here in Bible study tonight. For those who are looking for Hosea, again, it's right behind Daniel. Don't have to go far. It's the next street over. Amen. And so Hosea chapter 4, and we look at verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. This is, again, the reason why we are experiencing such difficulty with our children, with the things of destruction around the earth today, is because the people have rejected knowledge. It's not that God did not want people to have knowledge, but again, going back to Daniel, God told Daniel to shut the book up. And so therefore, the book of the law is shut up, and men are going to and fro, up and down in the earth, and I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God gave that commandment, and he gave that commandment for all humanity to realize that he was doing something in the earth realm, not just for Jews and not just for people that were of whatever ethnicity, but he was doing it for all humanity. The word of God is not discriminatory. It's a word for all nations, all kindred, all tongues, all languages, all people. And yet, because the book is closed, we see devastation in Syria with chemical warfare, and chemicals have been released, and thousands upon thousands of people are being killed by their own brothers and sisters in the African continent. And yet, we still have no urgence on picking the Bible up, and not making a difference on what language we speak. The Bible can be translated in any language in this world, and yet people are being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. It is an urgency that we look at the text in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. It's an urgency that we do not do what God told Daniel to do at that time, because that was a time where God was going to be the God that was going to speak to the people by the prophets. In fact, Jeremiah prophesied that they would go into Babylon for 70 years. And yet, because of disobedience today, the same captivity may not be that we're in a nation where we're under some type of king, but we may be bound to an addiction. We may be bound to some things in our own life that does not look like God. And because we do not allow, again, the book of life to be open, we do not have life in us. And so therefore, again, my people are again destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And what I love about this particular verse in Hosea 4:6 is that God says, because you have rejected knowledge. In other words, it is something that individuals are doing themselves. You cannot blame anybody. You cannot blame anybody for ignorance. Ignorance is something that individuals do. When God is talking to us, he's not talking to us just from a corporate standpoint. He's talking to us in a private standpoint, because what we do in private, God rewards openly. So there's a problem that there is a lot of people that are even in the body of Christ, even coming to church, who do not even open the book. They wait to get to church on Sunday. They wait to get to church on Tuesday before they will even have a private time of devotion with the Most High God. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why it's so important for us that we don't look at what the problems of our society is, because when we all go down to it, the number one problem of it is that we have rejected knowledge. We have allowed the book to remain closed in our houses, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our families, in our states, in our nation. The book of God is closed. And even in the church, there are some churches where you go to where they are more tied to worship and the guitar and the drums and the organ and the B3 Hammonds and all the other cymbals that are in the house of God, but will only take a very, and sometimes not at all, time to even open the Bible up. They spend more time in worship with the music and all the other things, but we have to be reminded that's what King Nebuchadnezzar did. If we did not bow down to the music, we were thrown into the furnace, and he turned it up seven times. That's why it is so crucial that the people of God be not in captivity in church, that you must know that you have to get into a place where the word of God prevails, where the Bible is the number one source. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. And so it is important for us to get into ministries where the word prevails, where it is a Bible-based ministry. You're not in there talking about this, that, and the other, where knowledge is being increased to the things of the world and not the things of God. And so this is the reason why when we look at what Hosea is telling the people, because they had rejected the knowledge, God would reject them as being priests. Mm-hmm. In the time where we ought to be teachers, in the time we ought to be skilled in the word, we are as babes still on milk. And that's the reason why we look at our cities and our nation and our states and our families, because we are still acting like little kids. Instead mm-hmm. of operating out of the word of God and allowing the word of God to be a living epistle, read and known of all men, we have little knowledge of the Bible. We have little knowledge of God's word in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit. And so, therefore, we should be priests, and we should be reigning as priests and kings on the earth. But it seems like because there is a lack of knowledge, people are being destroyed every day. And yet, God is still waiting on his people to open the book, to turn the pages, so that we can live and not die. Yeah. Also, let's look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, let's go into the New Testament. Romans chapter 1. And let's look at verse 18, Romans chapter 1. Let's look at two verses in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 28. In Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Mm-hmm. First of all, we got to look at, because where men hold righteousness and unrighteousness, where they would rather believe a lie than to believe the truth, where they would call the truth a lie and call the lie truth. That's when we know to do right and don't do it. We speak death instead of speaking life. And for this cause, we see that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And when you think about the whirlwinds and even the things that people see today, it's nothing new up under the sun. If you go back to the book of Job, Job's 10 children would rather have been at a party than been at prayer. And when you look at Job chapter 1, you see where on one day there was a whirlwind that came and took all of Job's 10 kids. You know, tornadoes are nothing new. Neither is hurricanes. But because mm-hmm. we have a people that are ignorant to the word of God, we think because it happens that God is angry at us. No, God is not angry. God wants us to be righteous. Yes. You know, we have not arrived. Nobody's perfect. I'm not trying to, you know, put something out there to make myself like I'm so self-religious. But we have to come to a place of learning about God's ways. Surely we all have sinned. Surely we all are going to make mistakes. Surely we're going to, you know, have some things that we need to come up higher to. But Job's 10 kids chose partying over prayer. That sounds like what's happening today, where people love to party, as it was in the day of Noah. They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. But Noah took knowledge. Noah took instruction. And for 120 years, Noah kept on building an ark. People were laughing at him. They were probably, you know, as they're doing today, seeing, you know, Job at the church. And, you know, nobody's going to the church. They're going to the bar. They're going to the restaurants. They're going and having this and having that kind of, you know, fun. But nobody was coming in to get knowledge on what Job was doing or what Noah was doing or what Daniel was doing. Mm-hmm. Or any of the people of God that were in the earth at that time, or even in those in the earth today, those like ourselves who are coming to Bible study, and there be only a few people that shows up for Bible study. Yet, you know, people are at home watching Let's Make a Deal and Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, and looking at games and allowing the enemy just to play games with them. And so when we look at this, God says that for this, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And so, therefore, in illuminating the scripture from that perspective is that God, at some point in time, has to bring judgment upon people that do not want to receive the knowledge of God. Hosea said it this way again, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And so, mm-hmm. because we do reject knowledge, we do see the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men. And then you look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. See, it's not that God don't want to give people knowledge. People don't want to retain God. Today we have a lot of situations with autism and ADD and things that you never would have thought would be in the earth today. Kids that are in the infant stage of a pregnancy that are giving a bad hand because of the parents' lack of knowledge. And they're doing all kind of things when that seed is conceived. Their lifestyle is not conducive to nurturing that child in the womb. And so when the child comes out, it comes out with, amen, deficiencies. It comes out with things that have been dealt to them while the parent was doing what they were doing while the child was in the womb. Mm-hmm. And so they come out with these deficiencies. They come out with these things called attention deficit disorder because a lot of the parents are not paying attention. And so, therefore, we have to catch this thing, the revelation of it, and begin to deal with it in circles of communication, because until we go back to the basics, until we go back to opening the book and beginning to have those Bible studies. I mean, I love to shout. There's nothing wrong with shouting, but that's a lot of emotionalism. There's a lot of emotionalism in the body of Christ today. People are so emotional. People are losing their minds because when you're emotional, you're dealing with depression, and it's a feeling, it's an emotion. A lot of people, that's the reason why there's so many people that are weak among us today, because we are emotional in the church today. We're not relatively related to wisdom and knowledge and speaking into the lives of people. We come to church and punch our ticket and go back home. You know, and then we come back in next week and punch our ticket and go back home. But there's nothing revelatory related to the knowledge of God that are being distributed. I remember, you know, there's some places in the scripture, you know, in the Apostles' Day, in the book of Acts, that the people were in church and the man fell off the window. It was in church all night. The man fell out the window, and they had to go down and raise the man up from the dead. They took time. Jesus, as an example, Mary and Joseph, left him in the sanctuary, left him in the synagogue, and there was Jesus asking questions at 12 years old. And they turned back around and go pick him back up, and he's still in that same place where they had left him. It took him 3 days to get back to the synagogue there in Jerusalem. So even Jesus took time to learn and to gain knowledge and to gain wisdom. And he's our example today. He's the example that the church should be patterned after, that he was a teacher. You don't find nowhere where Jesus had a praise and worship team, and that's all he did was praise and worship. But today we have had these introductions of men who have told the people that they don't need to have the Bible. They don't need to open the scriptures. We just can have, amen, a good time in praise and worship. And the people leave the church ignorant because the Bible, again, has been shut up. And so, therefore, we're living in a day and time, to those who are listening, that you must have an urgency of wisdom and knowledge. This is a time, like the scripture tells us in Daniel, that they would run to and fro when knowledge was increasing, but it was not the knowledge of God. This is a time where we need to run to and fro where the Bible is open. We need to get into churches where the Bible is open, even if it's you got to drive. I remember driving all the way to Cleveland. I was in Cleveland 4 days a week because I love the Bible study. I love to be in the Word. You know, I don't mind traveling if I'm going to go to a place where the Word is. I don't want to go to a place where they got a lot of emotionalism going, a lot of drama going, because that's why the people are being destroyed, because a lack of knowledge. And so I want to just say to those who are listening that this is an urgency that you increase your knowledge of the Word of God in this hour. This is so crucial to us, because we're living in a day where people are being deceived and so many doctrines are coming out. People are, tied to the Warren Jeffs, men that are using the Bible for own personal choices, and not trying to judge anybody. But I'm saying we have to realize that even Jim Jones had the people believing that they could do this and do that, and it was being taught the wrong way. You need to get into a place where the ministry of the gospel, reconciliation, is being taught in a way of accuracy, not in just mere words of what Daniel did or what Hosea did, but what are we doing? Are we being destroyed because of lack of knowledge? Are we still allowing this word to be logos, or are we looking at it as being rhema? The book needs to be open. There's no reason why the book is closed this hour. There's no reason why people are still in warfare and fighting against flesh and blood. The scripture tells us that we're not fighting against or wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why it's important for us not to be ignorant in this hour where men are again substituting the Word of God for the organ and the drums, and nobody's opened the Bible up, and then we have such a microwave or a fast food message today in the church where people don't want to come in and eat all that God has at the buffet, where he prepares a table before us in the presence of his enemies. We want to go through the drive-thru and hit it for 10 minutes or 5 minutes and come on out. And so, therefore, we need to really have an unction in this hour, and I feel strongly about this today because God has been speaking to me. He says the people are being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. They don't open the book up. And so the Bible has to, again, come alive. The Bible has to come alive in our hearts, in our mind. We have to have a renewing of our mind daily by the renewing of your mind. And so you cannot renew your mind, amen, watching TV. You cannot renew your mind listening at people on the telephone alone. I know this is not just being on the telephone. This is a Bible study. So that's why it's important, if we're going to be on the phone getting some information that's going to bring illumination to our minds and to our spirit. The other thing I want to look at is look at Romans 10. Romans 10. And let's look at Romans 10, verse 6 through 21. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 through 21. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 through 21. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. That's a powerful, powerful word, because today we have a lot of people that are in this world, the spirit of destruction, the spirit of suicide, the spirit of death and murder, and all these heinous things that are being done to humanity is the result, the root cause of the book being closed. And because there is a lack of knowledge, the people are being destroyed because of that. And so even when it comes to salvation, the church is still supposed to be preaching a salvation message. We are still supposed to be having altar calls and getting people reconciled to Jesus Christ. But some places today, you don't even have altar calls. You don't even have a salvation message. People are on the TV raising money. Nobody's talking about souls being saved. People are being destroyed. The preachers are not even opening the Bible. They get on TV, and they don't even open the scriptures up. You come to a church sometimes, they don't even know the scriptures up. And so, therefore, how can people be saved if the Bible is still closed? And that's why we have all these people talking about end-time ministry and end-time this and end-time that, and don't even have a revelation of the end-time. No man knows the hour. Not even Jesus himself knows the hour. And yet, because people do not make him Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, they allow themselves to be destroyed by things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, whether it be addictions or whether it be just ignorance. People are being destroyed. People are warring still against flesh and blood. Brothers are still killing brothers. We ought to have known that in Genesis when it talked about Cain and Abel. But as long as the book is closed, the world continues to allow destruction to be the course of the day. And so that's why it's important for us as believers to go back to the basis of opening the Bible up and having Bible studies and having time where we take our young people around the table. You know, we want to always blame, well, you know, they took prayer out of school, but they didn't take prayer out of the home. You know, we can easily blame people. But what about your responsibility of sitting your son and daughter around the table and just maybe having a 30-minute Bible study? I mean, you're not trying to indoctrinate them and make them religious nuts, but you can also introduce them to the gospel and to the Bible in a way that even a child cannot hear. And so that's why it's so important for us that we don't have to try to beat people over the head with the Bible. We don't have to try to make ourselves all that religious, but we need to take time to be able to, even if it's spoken in parables, to explain to young people and the people on the earth today that the Bible is the most important thing in the world. I'm an author, but I realize that he's the author and finisher of my faith. I don't put myself out there to make them make them so that I'm trying to push my books over the Bible. I believe the Bible is the most important book that anybody could ever read. But then God gives also knowledge extenders, and that's what authors do. People who write books are nothing but knowledge extenders. They're getting information into your hands that makes it, again, makes it where it is in parable format. It makes it easy for you to get something, whether you're having a situation in marriage or whether you're having a situation in your personal development. There are a lot of self-help books out there. There are a lot of books on this subject or that subject, and that's what we call knowledge extenders. And there's nothing wrong with knowledge extenders for those who are disagreeing that people shouldn't be writing books. I believe that people do need to tell their testimony. I mean, Harry Potter sold over billions of dollars about the devil, and yet we have people who won't even write their testimony. The Bible tells us that we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. And so that's why we need to have a testimony, and sometimes it's good to share your testimony in a book format. And so I do commend anybody who is interested in writing books. That's what I do. I help people. I impart into people's lives. My wife is an editor. She's a retired school teacher with a master's degree like yourself, Sister Suzanne, but you have gone on to complete your doctorate. And so we need women and men of God in our life who are going to push us in the area of pursuing excellence. It's so crucial in this hour that knowledge, like it is being increased in the world, that knowledge increase in the Word of God and to the people of God's life, as it was in the day of Daniel when he told Daniel to shut the book up and that men would run to and fro and knowledge would be increasing. So that's where we see it in the natural, that there are a lot of people that are knowledgeable in a lot of things of the world, but a lot of our churches are empty on Sunday with just maybe a handful of people because people would rather watch TV than to hear the word of the Lord. And that's why when we look at the book of Romans, it says, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they've been sent? The other thing I want to get to quickly, and I don't know how much time I have left.
You're fine.
I want to look at Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, the Gospel. And I want to look at verse 22 through 28. Matthew 15, 22. Through 28. Jesus is our example. And again, in Matthew 15, 22 through 28, the word of the Lord says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus spoke a word. He spoke a word into this woman's life. Even though the conditions of her being from Canaan, being of another culture, Jesus realized that he was sent. And that's why it's so important for us to hear this, because he was sent for the lost sheep of the household of Israel. The Bible, in its beginning, is to the Jews. And not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well, once it is opened. that's why we have been given the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, because we may not have had our Jewish heritage, but once you get the spirit of adoption in you, you have now a covenant that takes you back to the Bible from the beginning. And so now your name and my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so therefore, there is no discrimination. There is no exclusion. Once you open the book and receive Jesus, Jesus has come for the lost sheep of the household of Israel. We have a covenant with Israel. Our covenant, whether we were black, brown, red, or yellow, white, or whatever indifferences, once we open the book, we have been given the spirit of adoption where we have been engrafted into Israel. There is such a ignorance today of the church in this replacement theology that tells people that they are not Jewish. I am from Ethiopia. My roots come out of Solomon. I may have been raised from an Egyptian perspective from my parents because they were limited with fourth grade education. But when I opened the book, those who are listening, I realized that now I have an inheritance because now I am no longer ignorant of the scriptures. My mother can only read, but John 14. That was her favorite scripture. Let not your heart be troubled, because she only went through the fourth grade. There's no excuse for people today not to be able to read or write. There's no excuse. And because we hold on to these old mindsets and we say, well, mama didn't go to college and daddy didn't go to college and mama didn't finish grade school and all that, we hold on to those generational curses. Instead of releasing ourselves from the curse to the one who came to take away the curse, Jesus Christ, for cursed is every man who hung on the tree. And the last time I checked, he is the one that hung on the tree, and we're getting ready to celebrate his resurrection, his death, and his burial on next week, Resurrection Week. And so there's no excuse for us to still be in generational curses of ignorance, when the Bible should be our weapon that we use instead of our 38s and 9 millimeters and all these assault weapons that people are using today. The Bible is your weapon. If you open the book up and read it, no weapon formed against you or I, according to Isaiah 54:17, shall be able to prosper. And so that's why it's important for us as women and men of God to realize that God does not discriminate. He doesn't have a problem with anyone who is of Arab descent, African descent, European descent, Asian descent. God loves everyone, and he does not want any of us to perish. And so this is a strong word tonight, because God is saying to the people who have an ear to hear, this is a season for us to open the book and get the knowledge of God back into our house, back into our community, back into our city, back into our nation, and back into the world. We need to have the Bible open in our lives. And that's why it's important that when Jesus sent the word, he sent the word only because the woman's response was that even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. We have been on the bottom for so long. It's time for us to come to the top. We have been underneath the table. It's time for us to come to the table. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. And I love about it, he says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's why it's important for us, again, to quit using that excuse they took prayer out of the school and bring our kids to the table and open the book so that they can have a knowledge of who God is. One thing about the Jews, they have a covenant that they teach it to their children when they're small, when they get big, when they go out, when they come in. They do not allow that Torah to stay closed. They teach it to their children and to their children's children. They understand the covenant. They understand the covenant rights. Again, but God has given us an extended version. I'm not taking anything away from the Torah. I love the Jews. My heart is for Israel. My heart is for the Jews because I'm one. And because, again, of ignorance, I was raised in an Egyptian home. My mother didn't have the knowledge of the Bible. So she only lived on what she knew. And that's most of our parents. But there's no excuse for us today, in 2013, to have the book closed. And this is where we're going to reveal to you the mystery tonight. We're going to reveal the mystery tonight that most churches don't even understand, because they tell you, don't go to the book of Revelation. That's the devil's book. They don't even read out the book of Revelation because they want the Bible to remain closed. And that's why we go to Revelation chapter 5, and let's look at this. And this is going to be my last scripture, and then we can open up for some questions and answers. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals, the seven seals thereof. And I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders to the Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and every people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Brothers and sisters, this is the mystery that the book of Revelation, as I said in the beginning of our opening statement, that Daniel and Revelations are parallel. They're tied together. In the book of Daniel, God tells him to shut the book up. In the book of Revelation, no man was worthy to loose the seals and to open the book but Jesus. And he's of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. In the Old Testament, David was a warrior. He warred for Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. David had many sins, and some of them are still held against him. Israel. But because of Jesus coming in the earth to forgive man of his sins, God shows us in the scripture that Jesus is of the Root of David, Israel. We have to be reminded that it was Israel that went into Babylon because of disobedience. Because the same man that said of my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and turn from their evil ways. The same man that was preaching the gospel was seduced by other strange women to the point that the temple of Solomon was torn down, stripped, everything taken out of it. And that sounds like the church today, where everything has been taken out of it. The church has been stripped. The glory of God doesn't even show up anymore. People are just coming and going as it was in the book of Daniel, but the book is shut up. They're going to and fro, and knowledge is not being increased by the word of God, but we're preaching another gospel. We're crucifying Jesus again afresh. We are rejecting the words of the prophets. We're turning our back on the one who went to the cross. We have made it a commercial day versus a day of reconciliation. And yet we go in year after year, day after day, turning on the news and hearing all the bad news. But nobody wants to open the Bible up and talk about the good news. Because he has been revealed. The revelation is now before us. The book is open now. And there are really some really true and sold out sons and daughters of God, those who are preaching the gospel with a pure heart. They don't want your money. They don't want anything from you. All they want you to do is not be destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And instead of us running to these people, we're running to those who are seducing us and keeping us deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And don't open the Bible up, but they have a two-hour praise and worship service and tell the people, we'll see you next Sunday. Don't even open the scriptures up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're running to those type of churches in America today. And the word of God is to none effect because of the traditions of men, where they hold righteousness in unrighteousness and are calling the truth a lie and calling lies truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important for us to hear the word of the Lord, and I pray that this has reached your heart as well as your health, that you don't have to keep on warring in this hour. This is a time where God wants you to worship, and he wants you to have welfare restored back to you. Let me repeat that again. This is a time where you must cease from that warfare and allow the worship of God and the welfare of God to be restored. Judah means praise. Send Judah first. We don't have time to put Benjamin. Paul did not die for you. Jesus did. We cannot put Benjamin, and that goes back to what I was sharing with you about in Acts chapter 8. Paul was making havoc of the church, who was named Saul at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing people in prison because he had the wrong mindset. In fact, Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9, those are two chapters you need to read. He was getting his orders from the chief priests to do all this heinous stuff against the persecution of the church. There are a whole lot of people that are against Christ. They're not for the cross tonight. And they would rather keep you in ignorance and unlearned, not opening the scriptures, not testifying of those things that have been given to you to testify of. And so I just want to just, again, to allow those who are listening and those who are going to listen in the days ahead, this is a time for you to increase in the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of men. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is given for salvation to all those who will believe. So
yeah.
The book is open. The words are going forth, and they are coming alive even greater in this hour than any other time in our life, in this world, in this society. There are some who are still Bible students of the word, and they're trying to teach others the knowledge of God. So I thank you, woman of God. I thank you for the time, and there may be some who may have some questions, and we can open up for this little time of, you know, some questions and answers if there is anyone that's listening that would want to share.
I'm going to open up the line. I have 216. First digit of the number is 9. Do you have any comments or something you'd like to share with Apostle Scott? Well, Listener 216, do you have something that you'd like to share?
Well, praise the Lord. I don't know if this is me, but, you know, I always enjoy listening to Apostle Scott, a man with a pure heart and who is sold out for Christ. And it's always a blessing just to hear how God works through him as he speaks and shares the gospel. So I came on late, but I have thoroughly enjoyed the short time that I've listened. And, you know, blessings to you, man of God.
Amen, amen. I thank God for this time because I've been, again, I've been speaking this word across the country for the last 8-9 months about the word of God increasing. And again, it is so important for us as teachers and ministers of the gospel to teach the word. And I want to just, again, commend you and your wife for what you all are doing in New Beginnings and opening up the Bible study so that people around the world can join in and hear what God is saying through the Spirit to the church.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Apostle Scott, I'd like you to, again, share the titles of your of your book and what you're writing, what you're doing now, and I understand that your ministry is offering, has something coming up. If you'd like to also share that with our listeners.
Yes. Again, our first book is Anointed to Say No. It is a book that gives you an impartation of how to be aware, how to be skilled, because, again, Satan does not want the anointing. He wants our flesh. Because when he gets us into the flesh, then he knows that we're not effective. So I wrote a book on how to be skilled in the things of how to say no. Jesus himself even said no. It is written, man cannot live by bread alone. And so that book, has been out. You can go to the website for all of my books, www.timetochangeyouroil.com. Again, www.timetochangeyouroil.com/book. Okay, you got to make sure you put /book because if you don't, you'll pull up Jiffy Lube and Valvoline and all those other search engines. So you must put /book so that way you can go right to the website to order. Time to Change Your Oil is the second book that's been out for about 2 years. And, again, that is available on that same website. Anointed to Say No and Time to Change Your Oil. And also my wife has a praise and worship CD, Good Morning Holy Spirit. So those are three products that are on the website that are available for my brothers and sisters out there. I do admonish you to go to those that website and order the product. It really will help you in not only your Bible study time of going to the scriptures and seeing where God wants you to change your oil. It's important for us to keep our oil clean, keep our lives clean, and so to do the best we can while we can. And then I'm working on a new book called, and I've spoken that even on the last broadcast that I was on, Church on Life Support is the third book that I'm going to be releasing this year, The Church on Life Support. And so we are called to speak life. We are hooked up to Jesus. We're not hooked up to a machine. We're hooked up to him. And in him we live, move, and have our being. We need to know that. And we are called to speak life. He has given us the tongue of the learned and the ear of the learned, according to Isaiah 50, verse 4. And so we need to be attentive to this book. This book is going to, I believe it's going to be one of my best sellers. When it's released, because we do need to be speaking life in this hour. So many people are experiencing death and destruction that nobody wants to keep on seeing the bad news, but we need to hear the good news. And so that is a book that the Lord has put out. My spirit, I'm working on that as we speak. And, again, I believe it's going to be birthed out in September because I'm pregnant with it now. And so this week coming up is Resurrection Week. We have two powerful women of God coming as apostles. Apostle Barbara York is coming from Mobile, Alabama. She will be with us on the 28th and the 29th of next week. That's March at 7 o'clock here at 561 Washington Street. You can go to our website, and the church information is on the website. We would like to everybody that can come out and be with us, be a part of it, come out and fellowship with us. And also on Saturday night, we have Apostle Tina Spivey from Youngstown, Ohio. She will be with us Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And this is, again, Resurrection Weekend. We are looking and expecting for Jesus to be resurrected in our lives again. And so I'm going to invite all those who are listening, all those who are going to listen, you have a personal invitation. Come as you are. We're not a church where you have to be dressed up. We want you to be blessed. We want you to be illuminated by the scriptures. And so we want you to come with an expectation that God is going to change your life because of the word. So we want to just, you know, extend that invitation out to those who are listening. We are in Warren, Ohio. For those who don't know where Warren is, we're right by Youngstown, about 15 miles from Youngstown, Ohio. You can hit us, again, on our website to get all the church information. And if there's any questions, you can feel free to email me or call me, and I will be glad to get you directions to this powerful, impacting resurrection service weekend. And also, I believe that you all are getting an invitation in the mail, Dr. Suzanne and Elder Clay, because we would love you to come and maybe do the CEDAR if that's going to be available for us this resurrection week coming up. We love that impartation of what the Jewish Passover means and having a real thing and really explaining that to the people that are going to be partakers of this resurrection weekend. So we just want to just, you know, again, to share that with you. And if anyone else, again, has any questions, you can feel free to email me at scottderrick7 at Yahoo. Again, my email address is scottderrick7, all lowercase, at Yahoo. And I would be glad to, again, to respond to anything that you might want to share concerning his ministry.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I would very much like to do a teaching on the Seder. I truly enjoy the study of the Old Testament and the customs and traditions of the Jews and the meanings, like you were saying, about how Jewish families even today continue to teach their traditions and the history to their children so that their history is not lost. So I enjoy teaching and studying about the Seder and the traditions from the Torah.
Yeah.
We want to thank one for listening, and I want to remind you that we are New Beginnings Ministries. We're here on the radio, on Blog Talk Radio, every Wednesday evening from 7 o'clock until 8:30. We are also in archive on blogtalkradio.com, where you can hear our messages from the past year. Praise the Lord. And there's several good messages, so please visit. I'm sure there's something that may pique your interest in something that'll be birthed in you by you listening. I also want to remind you that we are a Bible study, but we're not a church. So if you do not have a church home and you're looking for a church home and you're not sure where to go, we are more than able to recommend a place for you wherever you are. So if you want to write us, leave us a message at our Facebook page or on Twitter or at our website. Leave a message and we will get back with you. If you want us to call you, we will call. Otherwise, we'll leave a written message or email you with a suggestion of some churches that you may choose to visit. We hope that our broadcast has been a blessing to everyone that's listened this evening. We thank you for your time. I want to ask if there are any other comments before we begin to pray. Any other comments?
I just want to,
no
just again, want to can we remind them for how they can, I heard you say something about chatter, the chat room. Is that something that you can share with them, how to go back and pull up the archives?
Yes. Now, the chat room is open during our broadcast. So if anyone is not able to, like if someone were not able to be on the phone or they chose to write instead of talk, they could send a message to the chat room and I could read, you know, relay what the message is and so forth. As far as the archives are concerned, if you go to blogtalkradio.com, enter Begin Again, and what you'll see will be a New Beginnings Ministries, either Begin Again or New Beginnings Ministries. Our program or our site is that will be identifiable by a blue sky and a beautiful eagle flying across that sky. So it's New Beginnings Ministry, and you will see an eagle. There are a few other items that say New Beginnings Ministries, a few other programs and say New Beginnings rather, but ours is New Beginnings Ministries, and there's an eagle. Please look for that. You click that on, and it will take you right to the archives. You can also go to that site and see what our upcoming programs will be about, the titles, and who will be speaking. Now, the other option that you have, of course, is to go to our website, that's New Beginnings Ministries, or you can go on Facebook. And you'll see a nice picture of my handsome husband there with our eagle again. And you can leave us a message or see some of the things that are going on in our community within the ministry and what people have to say. Our ministry, our radio ministry has grown tremendously. I can't believe that it's only been a year. I think it's a little over the year. I'm not sure. But that it has grown to over, you know, to we're in the thousands, and praise the Lord for that. How do you go from sitting at your dining room table with just a couple people and then to the library with a few more people, to the radio and reaching people that I may never know your face, know your name or see your face, but I praise the Lord that, he has directed you to this site, and I praise him for blessing us to be able to be a blessing to you. You've heard me say it before, we are blessed to be a blessing, and I hope that, and I praise God for him entrusting us with this truly valuable tool to be able to reach out to the world. Again, we talked about discipleship and about preaching the gospel. That's our mission, and we thank you for listening. Father God, we praise your name, dear Lord, and we thank you. We thank you so much for this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the good word that has gone forth this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that that word, Father God, has not fallen on infertile soil, dear Lord. The seeds have been planted this evening, Father God, and will continue to go forth, Father God, through the archives, Father God, and through our listeners, Father God, who will continue to pass the good news. We thank you, Lord, for the insight and the revelations that you have given our speaker, Father God, Apostle Derek Scott. We thank you, Father God, that you will continue to bless he and his wife and their family, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you would continue to direct their path, dear Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you have anointed this man, Father God, to go forth. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you would open even more doors for him, dear Lord. Bless their ministry, Father God. Bless their household, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you would put people around them, dear Lord, that would be a blessing to them as they have blessed so many people, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you would just pour into their life, Father God, that there will be no need, Father God, that is not met, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ is blessing them not only with monetary gifts, Father God, but with tangible gifts, Father God, and with encouragement also, dear Lord. We praise you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that Resurrection Sunday is coming, Father God, and we thank you, Lord, that you just continue to speak to the body of Christ, is, Father God, not about Lent and what Lent truly means, Father God, that it's not just us giving up something, Father God, but, Father God, that we should be giving something, Father God. So I thank you, Lord, that you pierce the hearts, Father God, of those that are listening, Father God, and inspire them, dear Lord, to just give, Father God, to be a blessing to someone else, Father God. Let them understand, Father God, that their ministry, Father God, here is to share the good news, Father God, and share of themselves, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for all that you have put in our path, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for blessing us with this ministry. We thank you, dear Lord, that you would just bless us and continue us, Father God, and that we would be able to meet here again next week at the same time, same station, in Jesus' sweet and holy name. We pray and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
This is your word that you've been waiting for all night. How many know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all you can ask or think? Woo! According to the power that worketh in us.
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready? Exceedingly abundantly above all, all you could ask for can according to the power that works in you, God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise. Give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
How many believe it tonight?
Yeah.